ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। हरि ओम् एवरीबडि। Last time we saw verses 7 to 12 of the chapter 16, in which Bhagwan has started a description of the behavior of Asuri Sampatti people, means those people who have more of Rajas and Tamas than Sattva. Asuri, Asura, Asusu Ramante iti Asura. Asusu pranas, those who revel in the pranas. Pranas means body. Those who have extreme body identification, they are called as asuras. They're not like rakshasas who are like fierce looking and all that. No, 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 no. Even in today's modern day world, even the most beautiful person can be an asura if they are identified with the body. That is what it is. And these, Bhagwan explained their traits, their attributes, their qualities. And Bhagwan is now going into more detail of how they behave. And then from 13 onwards, he will say what their attitude is. So first 7 to 12 was their behavior. And the reason that this has been explained in detail is for us to not do these things, not to judge others, but for our own self-analysis and see where we stand and then try and correct ourselves. And there is no need to despair, because afterwards Bhagwan also gives the antidote for such Asuri people as well. So there is salvation even for Asuri people. It's not like, you know, they're just doomed. But the antidote is also there. So anyway, so in verse 7, Bhagwan said, they don't know when to engage and when to disengage. More than engagement, we must know when to disengage. Very, very important. So pravritti, I told you, is the four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. For them, they engage in artha and kama, means engage in the accumulation of wealth, and they have a lot of desires, but they are not following, they do not remain within the parameters of dharma. So those are Asuri people. And moksha for them is happiness. So as long as my desire is fulfilled, and as long as I get what I want, I'm happy. So that's moksha for them. In truth, moksha is that final liberation. And dharma and artha and kama should be within the parameters of righteousness, dharma, that they are not following. So they don't know when and how to follow those things. That's why he says pravritti and pravritti nivritti, will these words will come again in chapter 18. They're very important. We must know when to engage and when not to. Is it my duty? There are many factors. So these words are very important. And then na shaucham. So there is no purity of intention. Purity of body might be there. Beautiful people are asuras too. So purity of body is not what is purity of mind, purity of intention, purity of motives. They don't have na apicha achara. So they don't know how to behave. They don't know when to withdraw. People think withdrawal or keeping quiet is a sign of weakness or defeat. It's not like that. It's not like that. There are times when, you know, we need to become small. And the most common example they give is Hanumanji. When he was crossing that and that Sursa came, suddenly he became very small. And his goal was to cross the ocean because he had Sri Ramchandra's work to do. So for that, he humbled himself. So sometimes we have to humble ourselves, you know, in this thing. So that is what is meant by na achara, like behavior. Na satyam teshu vidyate. So they are not truthful. They are not truthful to the scriptures, because scriptures, this is what they're saying, but they're not truthful to the scriptures. They're not truthful to themselves. As long as their desires are getting fulfilled, everything is all fine. Asatyam apratishtam, as regards the world, they consider the world to be going on because of birth and death that is happening in the world. And Ishvara, there is no antaryami, there is no controller. There is, this world is anishvara, means there is no Ishvara. Ishvara means not God, but there is a controller, I told you. Actually, the world is going on because of the karmas that the jivas are performing. But they think it is because of this lust and passion that the world is going on. And then karma, mutual union with lust for its cause. There is no other cause for this world going on. And this world is a bhoga bhumi. Those two words are also very important. Karma bhumi and bhoga bhumi. They think of the world as a bhoga bhumi, a place for enjoyment. That's it. This, why would God created this world? For me to enjoy. There is nothing else. So I go on enjoying. And with this sort of an attitude, alpa buddhi, very small intellect, because they do not have the intellect to think of what will happen in my next birth. If I do something bad, they do not have the thought that whatever is coming to me is because of my past action. So whatever will come in the future is due to my present action. So I should take care of my present actions. This they do not have. And then prabhavantya ugra karmana. Ugra karmana, I think I gave you the example of Ravana. Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, they did these terrible deeds, and then they become causes for the destruction of the world. Even now, people, I was thinking about this morning, and what I thought was of the drug cartels. See, they're so greedy. Jagatta ahitaha, destruction of the world doesn't mean a physical destruction, because physical destruction can never happen. But if you're going to distribute drug to the children and get them addicted at a small age, is it not destruction? That is what it is in the present day. Because I'd given you examples of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, and then we think, oh, that is in the past, you know. But now what? Now drug cartels are so much in power. And what are they doing? And they are Asuri. They're absolute perfect example of Asuri Pravritti. Asuri Prakriti is these people who are dealing drugs to little children, right? Adults is one thing, but children. Then, kama ashritya dushpuram. Kama ashritya, taking refuge in their desire, means taking refuge means this is it. This is my desire. That's it. They cannot see anything beyond that. And then insatiable desires, dushpuram, they can never be fulfilled. Our thought should actually, desires can never be fulfilled by satiating them. It is like fire. You're putting fuel into fire. Every time you fulfill a desire, there'll be another desire waiting. That they don't understand. And therefore, and dumb up their pretentiousness. So they'll do anything. Mana. Prestige, everything is a prestige issue for them. Ahankara is there. Mohat grahitva sadgrahan. So they are deluded. Moha. They are, grahitvan is like completely enveloped by delusion, wrong thinking. Delusion is wrong thinking. Okay. So first of all, asusuramante means first of all, they're identified with the body. That only is wrong thinking. Then on top of that, this world is meant for my enjoyment. And as long as I can enjoy life, that's it. There's nothing more. There's nothing less. And that is what I'm going to do. And then they have evil. They work with impure resolves, because when your desires are so intense, you will do anything to fulfill them. This is their behavior. And then Bhagwan goes on to say that they have this immeasurable chinta cares is this thing, but constantly they will have worries about how their next desire is going to be fulfilled right up to their death, pralayanti, up to death. Kama upabhoga paramaha, kama upaparama supreme. What is supreme to them is the fulfillment of my desire. That's it. There is nothing greater than that. That is what kama upabhoga, experiencing my desire, fulfilling my desire. Parama, that is parama, but not Bhagwan, not Ishvara, not purity of mind. As a spiritual seeker, that is, should be param for us. That my peace of my mind, purity of my mind is important, but that is not important. Etat vaditi nishchitaha. They're very certain about this. They speak like that and they're very, very certain. And then asha pasha bade, they are tied by the ropes of hopes. Asha pasha, this word will come again, or either it has come, this is the second time, twice it comes, asha pasha. They're tied to this world by the ropes of hopes. Kama krodha parayanaha, desire and anger. I told you they're not two things, they're two sides of the same coin. And ihante kama bhogartha, ihante, in here, what is my purpose in life? Is to fulfill my desires, kama bhog, kama desire, bhoga, experiencing that desire. So my fulfilling this desire in this world is my only be all and end all of life. Anyayena artha sanchayan. So for fulfilling my desires, I have to collect wealth. Why am I collecting wealth? See, a daivi sampati people, the person, he will collect wealth also. But at the same time, he will be thinking, how can I do some charity? How can I help other people? How can this person is collecting wealth only for his own purposes, there's nothing else. And then he's collecting wealth by unlawful means, because his desires are so great, insatiable, that a lot of money is required. Now how that money will come if you have just a simple job? So there is more. Okay, so this is where we had ended. Now this is the attitude. So the mental attitude of the asuras is being explained from 13 onwards. Ida madhyamaya labdham imam prapse manoratham idamastidamapi me bhavishyati punardhanam. This today has been gained by me. This desire I shall obtain. This is mine, and this wealth shall also be mine in future. You know, our acharya told, this is like a description of a person who is dealing in stocks. You know, my in future, manoratha is what, imagining. What is your, my investments will go up. I remember this one person. So what he did was, he had a mortgage on the house, that was fine. He took a loan on the house, means additional, and he invested it. Then what happened was, in January, in the year, you know, when 9/11 happened, that happened in September. In January, his investments were at such a high peak that he could have sold at that time. This is real, huh? This is not a story. He could have sold at that time and paid off the loan, paid off his full, his house would have been completely mortgage free. They were at that height, peak. And he thought they are going to go even more. This is what happens. This is greed. It is only on paper. Unless you cash in that investment, it is only paper. It is only this. That's why prapse manoratham means in his mind, in the future, imagining this will go up, and 9/11 happened. Boom. Gone. Everything gone. Not only the loan, even mortgage he couldn't pay. Then everything crashed. Right? This is what this is described. This verse is describing. It's a perfect thing for those who are gambling. You know, even the mission funds, one of our board members said, why don't we invest in mutual funds? See, our funds, which we fundraise and collect, we are surviving on donations, and mutual funds also becomes a gamble. So mission funds are never held in mutual funds. They're just held in state GICs. Even though the interest rate is low, it is a fixed interest rate. It is not a gamble, because then your mutual funds will grow. Then I will, now what happened? Everything has gone down. So this is where he says, this much I've gained today. Now I will invest. Now that investment will go up. Then I will make so much money. Then I will, all imagination. This is how they keep on imagining. This is their attitude, mental attitude of the asura. Okay. And this wealth shall also be mine, because it will grow and then I'll be even more rich. And this is all in, there was one, not a joke. Again, I think that was also a true story. So Guruji told us this. He said one person came to him who was, you know, all this investing and stocks, and he said, Guruji, you know, I lost so much money. So he said, yeah, really? What happened? What happened? He said, oh, my, you know, my investments or stocks or whatever they did, they have dropped in value. Guruji said, wait a minute, but actually you have not lost, only on paper. Yeah, yeah, but I have lost it, he said. Then Guruji said to him, you know, even I lost money. He said, how you lost? In the yajna, I was thinking I will get 50,000 rupees. I only got 25. So I have lost money. This is what this verse is. You know, on paper, that money has gone down. Oh, I lost money, he said. That's what now I'm telling my Swamiji's also. You brought in so much money. That means you lost, because I was thinking you will bring so much. Now that means I have lost that much money. This is what this is. Attitude. Understand the attitude. Okay. Asau maya hata shatruhu haneshe cha paranapi ishwaro ahamam bhogi siddoham balavan sukhi. That enemy has been slain by me, and others also I shall destroy. I am the Lord. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. This is the narrative. So this, that enemy has been slain by me. We in time of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, yes, they were actually killing people and all that. Right now, there's no killing in the, like there is, but suppose if you take ordinary people, those who, there is what is financial destruction is also there, right? So killing doesn't mean a physical killing of the person, but suppose if this Asuri Prakriti person does something by which somebody else loses money, somebody else loses name, fame, you know, they expose people for selfish reasons, that sort of thing. So this is their attitude. This is how I will win over my enemies. So enemies necessarily doesn't mean in battle or anything. Okay. So and others also I shall destroy. Destroy, again, not a physical destruction, can be even name, you know, for a very good person, and the name is tainted also, that is destruction. Financial destruction is there. So that sort of idea, it is there. Okay. And I am the Lord. I control everything. Lord here means I did and I got. So I'm in control of my destiny. I'm in control of everything. That is the idea. Okay. Because there is no Lord. This is what Hiranyakashipu actually, he said, I am the Lord and my idol should be in the temple and you should worship me only. That's what he actually directly said. There is no Vishnu. There is only me. But right now the person will not say like that, but he'll say, I'm in control. I control it. I control this wealth. I control this domain, this kingdom of mine, you know, whatever it is, right? Aham bhogi. I am the one that is enjoying. Who is actually enjoying? If we were to think a little bit deeper, it is the jiva that is enjoying, and the aham is the pure consciousness. Please understand, it is the ego or the jiva which is this thing. So when he says aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer, so that asuri prakriti person does not have a clue that it is, there is a what is known as a jiva or an ego, and there is what is pure consciousness. They both have become one for him. That is because that is predominance of rajas and tamas, the veiling and the projection, which we just studied in Vivek Churamani. What is happening is, for an Asuri person, the reality is being veiled, and now there is a projection. So he says, I am only Lord. is what it is. Aham bhogi. So I am enjoying it. It is the jiva who enjoys, not the pure consciousness. And I am the pure consciousness is the attitude of a daivi sampati person. I'm just giving you the antidote, the opposite of that. Siddhoham. I've achieved so much. I'm perfect, powerful, and I'm happy. That is their moksha. I told you what the idea of moksha that they have in their head is the happiness that I get from the sense objects. So if I'm the Lord and I control everything and all my desires are being fulfilled, then I'm happy. So scriptures are talking of moksha, na? So I have got moksha. I'm happy. Because you say moksha is happiness. So there's a misunderstanding of the words. Okay? Adhyo bijanavanasmi konyo stit sadrisho maya yakshe dasyami modishe ityanyana vimohitaha. I am rich and well-born. Who else is equal to me? I will sacrifice. I will give alms, money. I will rejoice. Thus are they deluded by ignorance. So I am rich and well-born is, you know, in Hindi, they say khandani ameer. I was thinking those who are born in the family of Tatas and Birlas, they are this well-born. Because there's a hierarchy of money already in the family, rich family. You know? Or we can say a person born with a silver spoon in his mouth, right? We say is born with a silver spoon. That is what is meant. So this is his idea of himself. Well born and very rich, and then who I'm the greatest. Nobody's as good as I am. I'm the most intelligent in the office. I'm smart. I am this. These are all deluded thinking that he has. This yakshe dasyami. So I will give alms, but this charity is to show how rich I am. See, there is. When we give charity, we must be thankful to the Lord that, oh Lord, you have given me this opportunity. You have given me the means to do charity. And that should humble us. But in this case, they are doing charity. He's doing charity, this Asuri person. But with the thought, I am so rich, I can throw money at people. And this is, so even in charity, I've told you, attitude behind that charity is very, very important. When we give food also, when we give anything, what is the attitude? That is what determines whether that charity is even going to give us any kind of merit or not. So here also, yakshe dasyami modishe, and I rejoice, I'm happy because then people, such a great man. He's giving so much money to the you know, whatever, institution, temple, the name is coming up, right? I've always given you the example of like Jim Patterson building is there, or Gordon and Leslie Diamond building is there at VGH, right? They are supremely rich, apparently, So see, now my name is going to remain for generations. It shouldn't be like that. That is, this is their attitude, Asuri Sampati. It shouldn't be like that. Iti adnyana vimohitaha. That is the break of that last word. Iti adnyana. This is ignorance. Because why is it ignorance? Because this is all coming out of ego. It is not coming out of the pure consciousness. That is being ignored. When I say I am the one who is giving so much and I am enjoying, and what is that I? In Gurudev's words, it would be the small I. It is, therefore, it is adnyana. Because why is Bhagavan calling it vimohitaha, visheshena mohitaha? Means visheshena means extremely deluded thinking. That thinking, what happens is rajas and tamas are impurities in the mind. So the thinking is not straight, is not correct. A sattvic mind will think correctly, and rajas, these impurities, when they come in the mind, this sort of thinking comes. Already they have said that, where is Ishwara? Anishwara, this world is without any God. They've said that. So that's why then who becomes God? Only I am only God. Means I am the maker of my own destiny. Who is the Lord? I am the one. I work and I worked hard and I earned all this money. So what has God got to do with it? This is the type of thinking. Now, I've given you the example of that Saint Rahim, Muslim saint was there. He used to give charity, and every time he gave charity, he used to look down. He never looked into the eyes of the person whom he was giving to. He was always looking down and giving. So he was asked, he said, you're the one that is the giver. You're giving. Why are you ashamed? He said, I'm ashamed because people think I'm giving, but actually it is God who is giving. So I'm ashamed to take the credit. That is Daivi Sampatti. That is how it should be. Every time we do charity or anything, we should say, thank you, Lord, that you gave me the capacity to give. You gave me the capacity that anything, there should be this feeling of gratitude, which they don't have. Okay, this is why I say iti adnyana. This is the ignorance. I am doing is ignorance. When you say I am doing, it shouldn't be. You can say I am doing, but thank you, Lord. If you bring that Lord in there, then it is correct knowledge. Okay. Aneka chitta vibhranta moha jala samavrataha prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti narakeshu chau. Bewildered by many a fancy, entangled in the snare of delusion, addicted to the gratification of lust, they fall into a foul hell. Yes.
Did I miss? No. In the previous verse, what does I will sacrifice refer to?
Sadrusho, I will sacrifice, I will do yajnas. Sacrifice, that is not, he feels happy. Let's see, what is Gurudev saying here? Birth and breed, sacrifice. He glows at you by his ritualism. I will sacrifice is the yajna. I will do sacrifice, I will do yajna. That is what is rituals. I will do previously. They did yajna. So here, work hard. Yajna previously, you know, where they used to have the fire ritual. Now there is no fire ritual. Nobody does that. So in the present day context, it would be working hard. That is what it means. Okay. Yakshe Dasavodaya. I shall rejoice and thus glorified by the world. See that he shall with his gifts purchase the whole world. He will give charity and then people will, you know, glorify him. And he feels happy in that glorification. So in all these attitudes, there is no inclusion of the Supreme Lord. The bottom line in all this is God has got nothing to do with it. I am working hard. I got it. What has God got to do with it? That is the main thing. Okay. So bewildered by many a fancy, entangled in the snare of delusion, addicted to the gratification of lust, they fall into a foul hell. So this is their what is gati. Gati is what happens to them then. When such people keep behaving like this, what happens to them? So aneka chitta vibhranta, aneka chitta, where the mind is, because it's extroverted. Asuras, the mind is very extroverted. So outside, there are so many things in which the mind can go. Sense organs and mind. In chapter 2, if you remember, Bhagwan said that if the mind is going outwards, it can go into many, many, many directions. Therefore, to make it single, unidirectional, karma yoga is required. Because in karma yoga, the attention is not on the outside, it is on the purity of your own mind. And when you go inside, introverted, there is only one path you're going to reach. But if you go outside, there is no end to it. There is no end to desires. There is no end to learning also. You know, people learn this subject, then that subject, then that subject. The person is a constant student throughout life. There is no end to anything that you do in the external world. There is no end to reaching the top. You know, you become the CEO of one company, immediately you say, but that company is bigger than mine. So now I want to be the CEO of that company. this is aneka chitta vibhranta, aneka, the mind is running outside helter skelter, moha jala samartha, and then entangled in the snare of delusion, starting with I am the body. That is the beginning of the delusion. Then everything else is following. So this is what addicted to the gratification, addicted, Bhagwan is using the word addicted to the gratification. So anything that I feel like doing, I will do. There is no Shreya Praya Vivek. There is no thinking, is this good for me if I do this? That thinking is not there. I want this, I'm going to do this. What will it do to my health? What will it do to my body? What will it do? No, nothing. I've given you the example of this friend, my mom's friend was there. He sat in my mom's house in India, and he actually said, he was diabetic. He said, I don't care. I have to have my jam every single morning. And the doctor in front of me, these are his words, the doctor can go on increasing my medication. And highly educated person, not a villager who doesn't understand what is happening, nothing. Highly educated, extremely rich. To his servant, he left 15 lakh rupees when he died. So imagine how rich he must be. Servant. And his beneficiary got like 12 crores. So that rich this man was, that highly educated. And he said, I don't care. And my doctor can go on increasing my insulin, but I will keep eating. This is what this is. Kama bhogeshu, gratification of lust. Lust here, desire. Lust doesn't necessarily mean passion or that way, but any kind of desire, this sort of desire, extreme desire, where there is no regard for your own health, even. Because that is the most important, your body, you should have to enjoy life. But even that is not there. Now, this naraka has to be understood. They fall into a foul hell. So as per the scriptures, there is actually a hell. Because this is now Atindriya Vishaya Vedaha. So the Vedas do say that there is a hell. Garuda Purana describes hell. And for hell, they say, even there is a heaven and hell. Even for heaven, this body that we have is only meant for the earth. Okay, this body is no good in heaven, and this body is also not good in hell. In heaven, this body is not good because there are no diseases in heaven. And this body gets diseased. It gets diabetes, blood pressure, whatever. But in heaven, because there is no disease, you can't have this body. So you get a different body. And that body is only meant for experiencing pleasures. That's it. No sickness is there, no illness is there, no nothing, and then you enjoy. Now in hell, Garuda Puran, apparently there is a river of pus and blood, and you need a body which can tolerate that, and there is boiling oil in which they put you, and then just as you're about to faint, they pull you out. Because if you faint, then you won't feel the burning of the oil. So they pull you out, they get you awake, and they push you in again. So for that, it is called a yatana deha. Yatana deha. This is scriptures. Huh? So don't ask me for proof. And I don't know. I don't think I've gone back there and come and nobody remembers. This is one explanation of this word into hell. Foul. That's why the word ashucho, foul, is used. So, But as Gurudev has explained here, and that there is another hell which we undergo right now, here and now, when our mind is not at peace. Then we are agitated, we are worried, we can't sleep, so that itself is hell. Therefore, Gurudev always has explained heaven and hell, because you see, when you tell people that there are these things, people may not believe, because who has seen heaven? And Asuri people will say like that only. What hell? There's no hell. I'm enjoying life. I'm in heaven. This is my heaven. I'm enjoying. So the mental state determines heaven and hell. This is how Gurudev has explained, even here and in other places also, that this hell, when the mind is ashanta, not peaceful. Now, when gratification of lust is at the top, parama, because kama upabhoga parama, they said. This fulfillment of desires is supreme. Now, if that desire is not going to be fulfilled, imagine how agitated this person is going to be. And that is hell. That is hell. Like now this person, if one day he doesn't get jam, he'll think his life is over. Right? That is how this is how. Therefore, patanti, they fall into foul hell. Ashuchau, narake, ashuchau. So naraka has to be understood here. And aneka chitta vibhranta is because the mind is so extroverted, it is running in all kinds of directions. And there are all kinds of desires that there. It's not just like one desire. There is dehavasana, there is shastravasana, there is like two, three types, or the Aishanas, you know, Bhagavan Shankaracharya explains the desires as three, he puts them in three categories, Lokeshana is name and fame. So these are the three desires. And then there will be, you know, multiple branches of these desires. So when that is supreme fulfillment of desire, when that desire doesn't get fulfilled, or one desire doesn't get fulfilled, how upset is this person going to be? So he's going to be in hell all the time. This is the meaning. Okay. Now.
Atma sambhavita stabda. Dhanamanamadanvitaha yajante nama yadnehi te dambhena vidhi purvakam.
Self-conceited, stubborn, filled with pride and intoxication of wealth, they perform sacrifices in name only out of ostentation, contrary to scriptural ordinance. This word sacrifices coming here should be taken as yajna. Okay, sacrifices. Not like they are sacrificing themselves for the good of other people. That sacrifice is not meant here. So self-atma-sambhavita, self-conceited, having a very high opinion of oneself. Self-conceit is what? You know, conceit. So I am so great. Already they said, I am the Lord. I am so rich. I have got this. I've got that much. So this is a very high estimation of oneself. And they're going on, I. Always going, this is me, this is me, this is what I did, this is what, you know, it's sometimes you may have noticed people, you say something and then the person will say, I saw something greater, or I, how can I explain? I don't know if you get it. Like you say something, then I'm going to say something to top it. Have you noticed people like that? Okay, so there is a story that just came to my mind. So there were two people who were meditating. You know, they were doing tapasya. They were sitting under next to each other in the forest, and they were meditating. And the Lord came in front of them, and he said, "I'm very pleased with your tapasya, and you can ask for whatever that you want." But he said, one thing is, whatever you ask, one person asks, the other one will get double. So this is how the Lord said it, right? So this one person, and he said, you go first. So he thought and thought. He said, Lord, I want you to destroy my one eye. Means what? The other one is going to get double. Means others, both eyes you destroy. Like that. So he's trying to top the other person. This is what self-conceit. Stabda is stubborn, means one thing of stubbornness is no matter what it is, they will hold on to their view, and considering nobody else can be above me, nobody else can be more right than I am, even though it is not their field of expertise. I've met these kind of people also. Is it your field of expertise? No. But no, this is how it is. So holding on to one opinion, that's why the fights happen, right? Shaivites, Vaishnavites, why are these fights happening? Because no, Shiva is superior. Then no matter what happens, no, Vishnu is superior, no matter what happens. And that's how the fight happens. Dhana, mana, mada, anvitaha. Dhana, mana, mada, anvitaha. Filled with pride and into dhana, wealth, mana, pride, and mada, intoxicated. Mada is, arrogance, intoxicated. So I'm so rich, I can do anything. That's what all. Yajante. So yajante is coming from yaj. So praying. Yajante is to pray, to sacrifice, to do yajna. Yajante word comes from doing. Yeah. So but they're doing sacrifices. And I told you sacrifices, they're doing yajna, not sacrificing something of their own for somebody else. But nama yajna, for namesake only, means my name should be coming up there. Ah, he's doing so much rituals, so much puja he is doing, so much donations he is giving, that sort of for name only. That's why he's trying in name only. In name means he is doing it, but for name, for his name to come, not for getting merit, not for getting purification of mind. That is the main thing about rituals in the Vedas. The rituals are there, the karma kanda portion is there, but Bhagavan Shankaracharya has always said that the purpose of that karma kanda is to purify the mind, not to fulfill desires. But that they don't understand, and that's why they are ignorant. This is why. Dambhena avidipurvakam, contrary to scriptural ordinances. So dambha, pretentiousness. So the scriptural ordinance, the do's and don'ts, are to do karma kanda to purify your mind, but that is not why they are doing it. That's why this is, they are going against the scriptural injunction. And that's why also pravritti nivritti, we said this artha kama to within dharma, but no, they don't. They will not remain within dharma. They will go on accumulating wealth and fulfilling desires and considering moksha. Yes, happiness is supreme. That is supreme happiness. My fulfillment of desire is my supreme happiness. That is why this is dambhena adhi avidhi purvakam. Avidhi, vidhi is do's. Avidhi is don't do. So, what should not be done? That is what they are doing. Karma kanda, the rituals, the yajnas should be done for purification of mind, not for fulfillment of desires. They are doing it for fulfillment of desires, and purity of mind is way down on the ladder. It's not there only, not even down on the ladder. It's not even there. Okay? Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha saushritaha mamatma paradeheshu pradvishanto bhyasuyakaha. Given over to egoism, power, haughtiness, lust, and anger, these malicious people hate me in their own bodies and in those of others. This also we should understand what is meant by hate. So because of their ego, okay, they have power because they are rich, they have worked hard. Haughtiness, darpam is translated as haughtiness, but darpa is arrogance. Darpana, I told you, darpa word comes from darpana. Darpana gives us arrogance because we look in the mirror and say, ah, how beautiful I am. So that's darpa. Kamam, their desires. Krodha, anger, following unfulfilled desires, becoming krodha. So saushritaha, so taking refuge in them, because this is taking refuge means this is their behavior. This is their behavior. Mama atma paradeshu. So mama atma means the self in me and the self in everybody else, they hate. Okay, so hate, we should understand this word hate. Hate can be expressed in many different ways. Ignoring is also hate. You ignore somebody, it is like hating. You disrespect somebody. More here, both ignoring and disrespecting both mean hate in this particular context here. Because one thing is they are ignoring the presence of the supreme reality, and that indicates a hate. Like, what supreme reality? What Atma? What God? There is no Ishwara. They already said there is no Ishwara controlling this world. The world is being controlled and going on because of the lust and passions. So there is birth and death happening, and that's how the world is going on. And ignoring is one, and not following instructions also is hating. Teenage children, when the parents say do something, they want to do something else. That is hating. That is it. Therefore, one clue to talk to teenage parents, I had learned this when my children were teenagers, is to get them in the car. And while driving, you talk to them so they can't run away. If they're at home, they'll go into their room and slam the door in your face, or they will walk out on you. So if you want them fixed and you want to tell them something, the best thing is you drive the car, you make them sit next to you, and now you start your lecture and don't stop the car. They cannot go anywhere. So if the teenager is not listening to what the parents are saying, right? It's as this is what is meant here. Like, they are not listening to what the scriptural injunctions that I have given, the Lord has given. They're not listening to that. They're doing opposite things. Then on top of that, they're saying there is no Ishwara. There is no God which is controlling the world. So that is like hating. That is what he says, that this, they in their own body, I'm there, plus I'm there in every single other body. They have ignored all that, and in those of others. So in themselves, as well as in the rest of the world, rest of the people. Okay, so far? It's very simple. I told you, this is the transactional world. This is not transcendental. This whole chapter is for our day-to-day experiences. There are people like this, even now.
Jayaji, in the previous verse, when you were talking about the yagna, like they say that they perform sacrifices and they do things only for their name. Mm-hmm. So this also means like we see many people doing leadership and, doing a lot of work for other people also. It's like meant for, like how we say we should do work for other people to purify our mind, right? I mean, not to do things for ourselves. But they do things for other people, yet they do things because their name is taken by other people.
Correct.
So what do you call that kind of person?
Same. That is Asuri.
That is Asuri.
Okay. Because he's not doing it for purity of mind. He's doing it so that people can say how great I am. Yeah.
But they're doing things for other people. They're doing good for the other community.
They are doing good to the other people. Agreed. Yeah. Okay. They are doing good to the other people. Okay. But then they want
their name.
They want acknowledgement for that. Then it doesn't fall under karma yoga. Na?
Karma yoga.
It is falling under karma. They're doing karma. People are doing good karma also. It's not like everything bad, right? That is what it is. The impurity, the rajas and the tamas does not allow you. See, we are looking for a pure mind, okay? And rajas and tamas is impurity. So if you keep this rajas and tamas in your mind, your mind will never get pure. And this rajasic, therefore, in chapter 3, just yesterday, we saw kama, esha, krodha, esha, rajoguna, sabat. That time also I said, Bhagavan has specified that this is coming out of rajoguna. It's not coming out of sattvaguna, because desire will come also out of sattvaguna, good desire, right? But then that is not leading to anger. If that desire doesn't get fulfilled, it doesn't lead to anger. That is how we also should know. What is the criteria? Now this point has come. What is the criteria? I have a desire, okay? And it doesn't, suppose if I want to travel somewhere, if I want to go somewhere or whatever, whatever desire, it doesn't get fulfilled. The criteria is, are you getting angry? Are you blaming somebody else? Then you should know that if you get angry, if you're blaming somebody, that's why it is rajoguna sabudvam. Then it has come out of rajas. And it could be a good desire also. But it didn't happen because so-and-so didn't do this and so-and-so didn't do that, right? Then that becomes the criteria. The anger, or if the desire, then the sattvic person will say, okay, God didn't will it for me. It was not in my destiny. Karma yogi will say, oh, I have not done karmas to deserve this result, so I didn't get it. Bhakta will say, God's will, God didn't want me to have it, so Bhakta will neutralize it. The nyani will say, you know, the one who is in the path of knowledge. He knows that, you see. So this is the criteria. That's why kama, esha, krodha, both words are used. And rajoguna, sabodva, only one word, rajoguna. No tamas, no sattva.
Yeah, so this this differentiation is sometimes so difficult that we need to really, really go deep into it.
Focus, think, yes. Focus. That's why self-analysis, yes.
Every situation has a different...
yes, yes. Thing. And every time you get upset, you need to go back into the knowledge and figure out exactly why you got upset and then neutralize it. That is what is spirituality. Any kind of worry, any kind of agitation that comes in the mind, it should be neutralized by knowledge. Mm. People neutralize it by massage. And see, I was in Belize and they had this Mayan abdominal massage. And then this girl told me that it is the Mayan healing technique. Mm. She told me, she said, this is the healing thing. And then I told her, I said, I'm a spiritual teacher. So all my stress, I will heal with knowledge. And she said, that is the best. She said to me, because Mayan, they are very close. Their Mayan culture is very close to what we Indian philosophy. So she said, oh, yeah. That is at the top of the list. This is below that. I said, exactly. I said, you teach me how to do it. But I said, I will always neutralize my stress with knowledge. If you have that, if you have established in the knowledge, there should not be any kind of worry or, you know, anything like that. Okay.
Jayaji, can mm-hmm. I ask you a question?
Yeah, you can.
A lot of times we all know people that will do something good, but you know they're expecting a return for something bad in the future. So is it better just to avoid people like that or lessen our association with people like that?
But wait a minute. So they do good because they expect something bad in the future? What does that mean?
Well, okay. Basically, they'll do something that initially is good, but then they will ask me or anyone else for that matter where they've done a favor. In the future, they will say, okay, I did this for you. Now I need you to do this for me.
Okay. Okay. So bad in the future. No, but then that means there is an expectation.
Yes. But then is it better when you know there'll be a bad result coming out of it for you in the future? Because they'll ask you to do something bad or something that I don't agree with. So then is it better for me just to avoid people like that or lessen my association with them?
The thing is to reduce your dependency, because see, first he has done you a favor, he or she.
Right. Yeah. So if you don't accept the favor.
Yeah. You, that need you should reduce.
Yes. Okay.
Your dependency you should reduce. Yes. No need to ignore the person. So if I don't depend on somebody, some human being for help, right? Yeah. And you must know, you know how you neutralize that? You must know that God is the only one that can help us. Yes. If you're established in that, God will send you somebody to help. Mm-hmm. That same person need not come.
Yeah. And I know that. But sometimes, like, you know, they say, oh, I want to help. But you know, the result ultimately for you is not good. So it's better not to accept it.
Then don't accept the help. Yeah. Then say, no, you know what? I can manage. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay.
You can say that, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you're dependent on their help, then you have to take the help. Yes. Then if they come and say, I helped you that time, now you do this for me. Mm-hmm. And there, if they're asking you to do something wrong, you can always say, you know what? This is wrong. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. Okay.
So rather than ignore them, I would say reduce dependency. Be self-sufficient, have faith in God, that God will send somebody to help me, that sort of thing.
Jayaji.
Yes.
Mohini here. It is good for us seekers right now, mm-hmm. because most of us have read a little bit. But what happens when you are very young and you get disappointments in every way? You are deluded and they fall in like in depression, they lose their balance of mind. So at that time, anything, what's that called? Dubte ko tinke ka sahara, you take anything, whatever is given, even drugs. So what is the solution there? I'm just...
Balvihar. That's why we start at a young age. People have the wrong notion that this spirituality is for after retirement. That is absolutely wrong. It is a science of living in this world. What will you live after you retire? You're close to death. Then what is the point? So you have to start early. But people don't, right? People don't. And then what can we do?
There is a history behind them, why they are doing what they are doing, because our religion teaching was wrong, you know, in between. Because yeah. you were sending young kids and they're totally teaching them different things, you know, caste differences, this, that. And when they will come huffed and puffed in the society, they will not treat the others well. So their teaching was different. So we went through that period, and we are still, many of us are doing that same thing, even at this time, this age. But I do not know, I'm at lost.
I'll tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. See, you said you went through that. Na? There is something therefore known as self-effort. There is destiny. That was your destiny, that you went through that regime of going to some religious school where they maybe actually advocated caste system, or they said, you know, these people are low and those people are high. You went, that was your destiny. But you do have the choice of self-effort now that you're in the mission, now that you're studying Bhagavad Gita, you have the capacity to change your mind. So try now. Put in your self-effort now. Do Purushartha now. It is never too late to do Purushartha. Never too late to do self-effort.
Agreed. But most of us, when they don't...
It is difficult. Yes, it is difficult. But you're attending classes every week, right?
Yes.
It's difficult, but you are attending. So
I'm not thinking about myself, but I was thinking about those people, you know, who got astray into that.
I tell you, improve yourself and the world around you will improve. You cannot change other people at all. Never. The only one person you can change is yourself. So focus on that. That is our problem. We focus on things which we have no control over. And then we get frustrated. And then it's like hitting your head on a stone wall. Now, is anything going to happen to the stone wall?
No,
it's your head is going to bleed. So why do that? Instead, focus on yourself. Focus on change within yourself. And see how things change around you.
Okay.
We'll stop here today. Next Monday is our Yajna, so there won't be a class. And 22nd is the long weekend. So again, there won't be a class. And on 29th, we are almost coming to the end. I was trying to go to 20, but that's okay. There are only 24 verses. So I think next time I should, 22nd, I should be able to complete it. And I will send this list to, shall I send it to Padmaja directly? Or are you on WhatsApp, Padmaja?
Which group?
No, not group.
I have WhatsApp. Yeah.
Okay. So if you can just send me a message, my number you have, right? That is my WhatsApp number. Means, you know what? Nowadays,
I don't have your number, JJ. I only have your email.
I'll give it to you right now. 604.
Okay.
325.
Okay.
9390. Okay. And I'll tell you a little secret. Because I used to, you know, make a list of verses and then I will type it in email and send it to Dinesh. And then Dinesh gave me this idea. Oh, just take a photo and send it on WhatsApp. So I went into Tamas and now this is very easy. So chapter two, I just took a picture of this is my list for chapter two. And then I just now click a photo and then send it to him. And then now I'm like, oh, this is easier than me sitting and typing the email saying, was this. See how we take the easy way out. So that's why I'm saying. So if you can just send me a test thing saying I'm Then I'll put you on my list. Okay, so next week is Swami Ishwananda Subodh Vedanta, 7 o'clock Pacific time. I hope all of you have registered. It is the Zoom requirement that you register, because only then will you get the link. It is from Zoom, okay? This regulation has come from Zoom, not from us. Okay, so I'll see you next Monday, all of you in class. And there is, oh, yes, on 13, there is a class. Friday, there is a Vivek Churamani class. Okay, so I'll see you on Friday.
Jayaji,
yes.
One minute. Are we getting those verses online? For the yajna,
he will put it on the screen.
Okay.
Because the book we don't have.
Yeah, we don't have the book.
It's a brand new. A brand new composition of Swami Tejomanandji. So he puts it on the screen.
Okay.
ॐ स्वस्ति प्रजाभ्यः परिपालयन्तां न्यायेन मार्गेण महीं महिषाः गोब्राह्मणेभ्यः शुभमस्तु नित्यं लोकाः समस्ताः सुखिनो भवन्तु काले वर्षतु पर्जन्यः पृथिवी सस्य शालिनी देशो यं क्षोभरहितः ब्राह्मणाः सन्तु निर्भयाः ॐ सर्वेषां स्वस्ति भवतु सर्वेषां शान्तिर्भवतु सर्वेषां पूर्णं भवतु सर्वेषां मङ्गलं भवतु सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतोम सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् हरि ओम् एव्रिबडी आई विल सी